I'm now joined on the line by Stephen Large from Threshold. He's going to be talking about tenancy termination, rent deposits and bogus receipts. So good afternoon, Stephen, and thank you very much for joining us.
Good afternoon, Johnny.
How are you doing?
Doing well.
That's good. A very happy new year to you. First of all, Stephen, one third of calls to Threshold in 2017 related to tenancy termination, an increase of 18% on the previous year. Would you like to elaborate on that for us?
Yeah, that was the finding for our annual report. It's somewhat in the distant past now, in that it was 2017, but 2018 very much echoed that. We received over 73,500 calls to our national helpline, and you can see that almost a third of the calls were from people in private rented accommodation on the issue of tenancy termination, many of whom had received notice to leave their home.
Right, okay. And in all, Threshold protected 4,000-odd tenancies last year. Would that be right?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things that we do, one of which is we operate what's called a tenancy protection service, and that grew out of the increase in number of people who are presented at homeless services coming out of private rented accommodation. So the tenancy protection service, where a person is in receipt of help through rent supplement, they can apply for an enhanced rent supplement payment if it helps keep people in their homes. And over 3,000 households have benefited from that since 2014. It is getting more and more difficult to sustain that as rents are increasing, but it did make a big difference, both to the individuals in that it kept them in their homes and out of homeless services, but it also actually saved the state a vast sum of money. It saved over €3 million. If those people had to enter homeless services, that'd be the cost of housing them during that time.
Yes, and I think that saving was achieved through your work to secure enhanced rent supplement payments to, you know, almost 250 families and individuals using the Interim Tenancy Sustainment Protocol, which is ITSP. Exactly how does that operate, ITSP? What's that all about?
Yeah, that was, I suppose, going back to just over 4 years ago now, where we were noticing more and more people were presenting at homeless services, and often for the first time, people would never have dreamt that they would have to turn to homeless services. You know, there might be people that were living in private rented accommodation, but because rents were increasing and there were no controls at that stage, and they're being given notice, and it was getting more and more difficult to find accommodation, they were had no option but to present at homeless services. And as a response to that, the Dublin Region Homeless Executive and the Department of Social Protection agreed a protocol whereby if someone contacted us and they were in private rented accommodation and they were in receipt of rent supplement, that we could apply on their behalf for an enhanced rent supplement payment if it meant keeping them in their homes and out of homeless services. And what we found is that on average, around between €50 to €100 per month was enough to keep a household out of homeless services, and that was extremely effective, and it was rolled out to Cork and also to Galway. I suppose demand for it is decreasing as we now have a new scheme, HAP, the Housing Assistance Payment, and there isn't a reciprocal payment at the moment in relation to anyone that's in receipt of HAP.
Right, and you also, Threshold, helped an average of 364 households per month now to remain in their homes last year. Would you like to tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, that may surprise many people, but over one in five homes are privately rented. And, you know, for many people, it was often seen as a transition stage, you know, that you'd rent for a little period of time, but ultimately people would like to maybe go on and own their own home, or perhaps would get housed by their local authority. And increasingly that's becoming less and less likely for people because, obviously, as you might have seen recently, in terms of the affordability and the aspirations of owning their home are getting further away from people, and local authorities are not providing the social housing that's needed to meet the demand. So you've more and more people spending longer and longer in the private rented accommodation, and that's causing huge difficulties for people in the private rented accommodation, because it's not a long-term secure sector for people. And going back to the initial point, over a third of people contacting us because their tenancy is at risk, and we're finding increasingly that there's less and less options out there for people.
Yes, and Threshold are continuing to call on the government to introduce, you know, key changes necessary to ensure tenants' rights are protected. For example, the introduction of the transparent dwelling-specific rent register, which would allow tenants, you know, in the rent pressure zones to compare prices, and also effective enforcement of RPZ legislation, and a protection scheme for rent deposits. Would you like to just touch on some of those points?
Certainly, yes. The RPZ, or what are known as rent pressure zones, they were introduced on Christmas Eve in 2016 to try and tackle the spiralling rents that were happening at that time. Going back to, you know, a couple of years at that time, people coming to us were facing rent increases of maybe 20, 30, 40%. In some cases, it was actually much more than that. And that was unsustainable for people and putting them at very real risk of homelessness. So the rent pressure zone rules were introduced to try and tackle that issue so that rents, when they're being increased in a rent pressure zone, could only be increased by up to 4% per annum. Now, unfortunately, what we've seen over the last number of years is that these rules are often ignored and that there's not enough enforcement of the RPZ rules out there. So that's something that we'd like to see. And part of that would be having a rent register. So when people are going looking for accommodation, they know that the rent is set within the rules. And you know how it was previously set in a tenancy, because often tenancies are being ended in the understanding that perhaps rents can be increased to the market, and that's not the case. That's actually illegal. But unfortunately, that is not being policed, and there's not enough enforcement being done to ensure that people are paying the rent that they're supposed to be paying. So that is why we're looking for a rent register. And there is legislation currently being proposed, which hopefully will give the Residential Tenancies Board the greater authorities to take on a more investigative role and greater enforcement powers in relation to tackling abuses of the rent pressure zone rules.
Right. And the number of tenants seeking advice from your website also increased in 2017 by 39% on previous year. That's quite a significant figure, isn't it?
It certainly is, and I suppose it's a sign of the changing times that there are a lot of people that are contacting us, and that they're doing that on digital platforms, and even having the website, you know, that's almost being surpassed now, because more and more people are contacting us on mobile devices, and you know, we're having to respond to that. And in addition to that, we have a free phone helpline for people if they want to ring and talk to a person directly. But certainly we're seeing more and more people are finding the website as a useful resource and a way of communicating with us, and they can also send queries through to us via the website.
Right, okay. How many of the tenancy terminations roughly relate to evictions?
In terms of the notices that we see, I'd have to say that the vast majority of notices that clients come to us with are not valid notices of termination. If a landlord has legitimate grounds for ending a tenancy, they can do so, but it must be done in accordance with the rules. And what we see is that very often this is not the case. And in actual fact, around 90, or we dealt with around 120 cases that had to go all the way to the RTB last year. And the vast majority of those related to validity of notices, and the vast majority of those were found not to be valid, that the tenancy wasn't being ended correctly and the tenant had a right to remain in the property.
Right. Tell us about your expanded outreach services nationwide, because you're not just operating in Dublin, you're all over the country at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, well, Threshold has three key centres. We have one in Dublin, and we have one in Cork and Galway. And each of us would also provide, I suppose, more accessible services in local communities. So, for example, in Dublin, we would have a regular outreach service in Dublin 15 in the offices of Fingal County Council in Blanchardstown, and that's extremely busy. We also would have a weekly outreach service with the Citizens Information Centre in Balbriggan, and again, that's extremely busy. And towards the end of last year, we commenced a weekly outreach service with Dublin City Council in the civic offices in Woodkey in Dublin 8. And likewise, our colleagues in Cork and Galway would also provide similar services to local communities. You know, we have the helpline, it's free phone number for people to access us. And we very high demand on our services, so it's not always possible for people to get in touch with us or for us to be able to facilitate, for example, sitting down and having a one-to-one meeting with people. So what we find is that with the outreach services, it just makes us a little bit more accessible to people. In Dublin, we only have the one office in Stoneybatter in Dublin 7, so that's not always the easiest place for people to get to, particularly, you know, where people have, for example, young families, and, you know, getting to school and collecting from school, it really limits, you know, being able to come and get in contact with us. So if we can go out, you know, to more local areas like Blanchardstown, then it just makes our service a lot more accessible for the people that need us most.
Right, very good. And as we all know, the rental market has skyrocketed over the last number of years. It's a landlord's market at the moment, and there's little or nothing out there to rent for anyone who needs accommodation. What's your view on the situation going forward in the next number of years? Do you see any sign of a changed market on the horizon?
It's very difficult to see any dramatic change over the next couple of years, unfortunately. You know, we've all, you know, over the last couple of years, we've all experienced the difficulties. We've all seen the rents increasing. We've seen that people are having fewer and fewer options if they do have a problem or if they haven't given notice, you know, that it is very, very difficult for people to access alternative accommodation. Supply is decreasing all the time. I think the last DAFDAI report found there were under 4,000 properties available to rent nationally, and demand is increasing all the time because, as previously mentioned, people traditionally would have maybe wanted to rent for a short period of time, but always with the intention that they were maybe going to be able to buy their own home or that they were going to get housed by the local authority. If you look at home ownership, you know, the cost is also spiraling. And, you know, if people are having to rent and pay exorbitant rents, they're not in a position to be able to save, to get a deposit, to be able to buy a home. And so they're staying in the private rental sector. And then likewise, you know, where a person is on a housing list with the local authority and waiting to be housed, the chances of them being housed in the very near future, it's going to be very, very slim, except for those at the very, very top. But for the vast majority of people, the reality is that private rented is where you're at and where you're going to be for the foreseeable future. So it's difficult to see how things are going to change dramatically, because we need to increase supply across all sectors. So whether you want to rent, whether you want to own your own home, or whether, you know, you want to be housed by the local authority, affordability across all the sectors is also a key issue because of the cost of housing, the cost of renting. So it is unfortunately very, very difficult to see what can be done to improve things in the short term. But ultimately what we would like to see is that for people that are renting, that it's a long-term and viable option for people, so that when you agree to rent a property, you know that you're going to be there indefinitely, and, you know, you're not going to be faced with exorbitant rent increases, or you're not going to be asked at any stage to move out. And that's very, very important because many people come to us and are renting, and they're always fearful of that phone call. They're always fearful of getting the letter telling them that they have to leave. Because if you imagine, if you put yourself into their shoes and you're renting a place with your family and you're being given notice, the chances of you finding alternative accommodation in your immediate locality are greatly reduced now, and finding somewhere that's affordable is greatly reduced, so you have to move further and further away, and that then impacts on all our aspects of your life. So, for example, you know, your children going to school, will they be able to continue going to that school? Are you going to have to try and move them school because you have to move home? And that's wrong. People should have long-term security of tenure in their home, and that home should be of good, you know, good quality as well.
Of course, right. At present, there seems to be no control for rental deposits. There's no legislation for it, and in some cases, tenants are being asked for 2 months' rental deposit instead of just 1 month. Tell us more about this problem.
Yeah, I suppose deposit retention has always been one of the key bones of contention in the landlord-tenant relationship, and it's always one of the main issues that people would have presented to us with. Obviously, in recent times, more of the cases are around issues we've just discussed around tenancy termination and rent increases. But I suppose there were some media articles towards the end of last week highlighting the issue around deposits to show that that issue still hasn't gone away. And having a deposit is vital for you to secure accommodation. If you have to go out and get somewhere to live, you know, you need to turn up at the door with the deposit and the rent in advance. And unfortunately, what we see is that can sometimes, again, be open to abuse. For example, we don't have any statutory definition of a deposit or how much of a deposit a landlord may seek from a tenant. Generally speaking, people will look for the equivalent of a month's rent in advance, but that's not always the case. And in some cases, people are looking for maybe 2 or 3 months in advance. So that puts you immediately, in difficulty if you have, a very limited income or, low disposable income. If you look at the average rent now, nationally, it's around $1,300 per month. So if you have to turn up and get accommodation, you're going to need, at the very minimum, you're going to need about €2,600, if not €3,900, to secure that property. And that's going to be more if you're living in Dublin. So that's, that's another barrier for a person accessing private rented accommodation. So what we'd like to see is that there's a statutory definition of a deposit and how much that deposit can be charged so that people aren't priced out of the market. Another issue... Sorry.
No, go ahead. I think the other issue you're going to mention is what I was going to ask, so go ahead.
Another issue around deposits is very often people have difficulty getting back the deposit at the end of their tenancy. And the legislation is very clear on the grounds upon which deductions can be made from your deposit. So if you are in rent arrears, or if you owe bills, or if there's any damage to the property over and above normal wear and tear, then a landlord can legitimately seek to make deductions from your deposit to cover any of the actual costs incurred as a result of carrying out repairs or replacing items. The issue that was highlighted last week was around the receipts for this, and what we've noticed is that in some cases people are being given bogus receipts to try and justify the retention of the deposit. So some of the examples would include receipts which would look legitimate, but when you do a little bit of investigation, you will find, for example, that companies that were named on the receipts don't actually exist. And all of these measures were being done to legitimise retaining that deposit from a person. And I suppose the difficulty with the deposit system as it's currently set up is that you have to go chasing that deposit, and that can take time. And that time is when you need to put your energy into finding alternative accommodation. And I suppose what we'd like to see, and the solution has been in place for a number of years, is the introduction of a deposit protection scheme. That was in the programme for government in 2011. It was actually put into legislation in 2015, but it still hasn't been enacted. And we haven't heard any good reason as to why that hasn't happened yet. But a deposit protection scheme, we feel, would help protect people from, for example, these bogus receipts to try and hold on to the deposit. Deposit protection schemes, they've been introduced in a number of other jurisdictions. They're part and parcel of any mature private rented sector. I myself, 10 years ago, went over to the UK and saw firsthand a deposit protection scheme operating there. And, they've been introduced in the North, and they've been introduced in Scotland, and all of those are working.
Right, so if they're working there, they should work here. Right, so we leave it at that, Stephen. Thanks again for joining us, and good luck for 2019 in Threshold. All the very best to you. Take care and have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
You're most welcome. All the best. Now, that was Stephen Large from Threshold talking about tenancy termination, deposits and bogus receipts. And shortly on the